eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 39, to the choir master, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, I will guard my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle, so long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. I am mute. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. Remove your stroke from me. I am spent by the hostility of your hand. When you discipline a man with rebukes for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Look away from me that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. I think it would be foolish of me to go on and on about Psalm 39, especially since such a central theme to this psalm is the fact that we need to be silent before God. And even a podcast in and of itself, I recognize the irony that I think I have something to say and that I need to speak, and here I am to speak on the topic of silence. And certainly if there's irony in that, there's irony in the words of Scripture, and even in David writing this psalm, David, who poured out his heart before God so often and so frequently, making reference to the fact that he needed to be silent and to be quiet before God. I say that in a sense of irony, not in any way where we question the validity of God's word, but that certainly there is this recognition that it's God's word, it's communication, it's speaking, it's things that are being said. Reminds me a little bit of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, where Ecclesiastes, who is, again, one who writes succinctly, who gets to his point quickly, but still he's making an observation that, again, there's an irony here when he says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity, but God is the one you must fear. I think we know this, that as men and as Christians, that when we look towards those who we oftentimes respect, it's not necessarily those who have an abundance of a word, but sometimes that quiet confidence. Certainly David in this psalm is holding his tongue, it says, when he's in the presence of the evildoers. But when he finally does open, he doesn't address the fool or the evildoer, but addresses God himself, asking God to make him know the length of his time, the end of his days, the fact that he is a mere breath and does not last forever. Ultimately, he is pleading with God to turn away from the punishment and from the discipline, and we can understand that David later in his life certainly would be in this position. Having just preached through David and Bathsheba, I'm always struck by how little David said, once he comes out of the situation with David and Bathsheba. He simply says, "I have sinned before God," when Nathan confronts him. And then there's almost no talking in the instance where he's pleading and fasting and mourning for his son's life as the Lord had struck him. But again, as we read in Ecclesiastes, there's this sense that someone who talks a lot is a fool, and someone who continues to speak and to constantly have to explain themselves ultimately becomes a thing David does not want to be when he says, "Do not make me," in verse 8, "do not make me the scorn of the fool." I think of a picture of that when I think of just an archetype for a man that I looked up to many years. It was one of the first years I was selling furs as a trapper. And I showed up to the fur buyer, and I had no idea what I was doing. My dad didn't. He was with me, and I was very thankful for that, for his support in that. But I still remember the first time I went to sell my furs that there was a man who, I think he had a cardboard box. He had his coffee, and he had his coon hunting dog next to him. And he was quiet, an old pair of worn-out BDUs. And I understood that he was a coon hunter. He had shot about 9 or 10 raccoons that night before. But one thing that struck me was how beautiful the hides were that he had prepared, the quietness to which he had. I was overhearing then when he went up to the fur buyer. He got top dollar. I asked him some questions and approached him then for just some ways to take care of the hides, because I wanted to be that. I didn't want to be the guy who was throwing around, you know, hundreds of raccoon hides, who was in front of me but were wet and in various poor conditions. He was a large-scale trapper, and he made his money by volume. I wanted to be the kind of person who was quiet, who was confident, who knew what they were doing. I think many of the men I've looked up to in the church are that same caliber of men. It's not necessarily the one who's talking all the time, or who's a blowhard, or has something to say about everything in some way that he's an expert in everything. But usually it's a man who is quiet and carries himself with that confidence. It's the same thing I saw in my father and in his faith, and it's the same thing I want to emulate in my faith. And so I think that's enough. That's enough to say about Psalm 39. When we come to God, let's be quiet. When we come to the presence of others, to the fool or the sinner, just be quiet sometimes. Muzzle your tongue. I pray you have a blessed week, and that you, like the righteous man, may be planted by streams of righteousness and peace. Thank you for listening. Find us online under the Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks, his presence too. With joyful song.